Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our 2018 season primer for Collingwood. My name is Heath, and we're going through each side. And I just want to note at the top, this is before the draft has been done, so we don't know their draft picks for this year. But Josh, what do you think Collingwood got out of season 2017?
Ooh, well, Collingwood is a well-supported club, but lads, strap in because this is gonna be a fucking bumpy ride. What they got out of it was that Buckley did just enough to keep his job.
I think he's shown some promise, but it's been the biggest talking point all year for him.
He showed promise in junk time. Like in the last four rounds, they won the last four, didn't they?
No, they lost, I think, six of the last eight, something like that.
Yeah, I thought they finished strong.
No, they were pretty shit.
They went shit house, yeah. But he'd already signed on by that time. So what do you think, Branton? What do you see out of their last year?
Well, I feel like that they sort of did they cut their nose off to spite their face by claiming a victory by keeping Buckley. And yeah. I feel like there's something not right there. You don't know what it is. I mean, injuries obviously been a concern, and they're a real concern. Like, you've got to give them that. But the players that they've held on to through the season haven't really stepped up into roles where you're just unsure what their game plan really is. Like, is it just having a clean out of older players, or like, are they looking for tall players that can be effective, or are they looking for that short running game? I mean, Treloar's obviously been the standout of the year, and quite rightly so. But obviously, Penderbury's getting older. Swan's retired.
Well, you talk about that, like Treloar, Adams, Pendlebury, Grundy. I'd have them in my side. They'd walk into just about any side in the comp.
Yeah, and so who do you fill around them with? And I don't think they've really nailed that at all.
That's it. Their midfield's good. It's the bookends they're having trouble with. And you're right, injuries is there, but when Buckley came in, it was a bit of a clean out. They said they had the rat pack there, and he had to get rid of some of them for culture reasons and the rest of it. And I'm not saying that's the wrong thing, but you got rid of Heath Shaw. He went on to back-to-back All-Australians at GWS.
I don't think that was such a bad thing. I don't think he was ever going to become the player he is at Collingwood.
He won a premiership at Collingwood, but his best seemed to be behind him, and it seemed like the fresh start was what he needed. And
a
little bit of a kick up.
I think had he stayed, he wouldn't have achieved. Well, he wouldn't have become the player he is.
Same with Daisy Thomas.
Well, Daisy Thomas for a different reason. That was just a gift. I can't believe that Mick Mildhous decided to do that for him on his way out. But
I reckon he got a piece of the action puzzling there for 700K a year.
I don't know. It does feel a little bit, though. They've got, over the last 3 or 4 years, a lot of trades and free agents that they've targeted.
Yeah.
And it seems a lot of them have come in and gone, I've made it. Yeah. And they're relaxed rather than that hunger. And they've had injuries and they've had bad luck along the way, but that's life.
Yeah. It's not just that, though. Like,
it can't be just that.
You pick up a player like Daniel Wells, great player. I'm a massive fan.
No, he's not. He's an old player.
He's a great player when he's playing.
Yeah. Which was, 2012?
Yeah, well,
2011? Yeah. Was the last time he played consistent footy?
Probably the last time he played 22 games, But, in the games he played, he was great. But you can't put a player like him on a 3-year contract. Well, obviously you can. They did. But it just seemed it's what they wanted to do, and it's the best thing for Daniel Wells to take it. But they did the same with Maine.
I drove past Collingwood training on Monday, I think, or it might have been last Friday, and Wells was walking along the sidelines. He wasn't training.
Well, that's no good.
I know, it's only early. It's only November, but still, it's just another one.
You need those people to be, sort of submitted to whatever direction they're trying to head. And I feel like I just can't understand what the game plan is with their recruiting as well. Because you've got Wells, good player. Maine, Yeah, you're still paying Freo for his pleasure for playing in twos.
But try to get rid of him this offseason, and he couldn't.
I mean, you got rid of Cloak, but I don't really understand why you get those players in when you're not going to be playing for premierships, and I don't understand what you're hoping to get out of them. You're going to get some, like, serviceable players, but are you really breeding a culture that's going to have success in, like, three to five years?
Especially when there's a glaring omission up forward. Like, yeah.
there's one Collingwood. And down back.
Yeah.
Well, Ben Reed's slot down there.
He's good.
He's been better than average.
Who's the next one?
Exactly.
Well, you got Darcy Moore, who I think is putting his hand
still
up.
Coming.
He's still coming, but I think that's the right move to make, is to
back him
and have more players around his age so they can grow up together in that club and then see where they lead. You only need a couple of leaders, and Daniel is going to come to that club and like dictate where they're going to go.
If Collingwood were sitting third or fourth and they got those players in, you say, okay, we can see you're trying to get that one extra win a year out of those top-up players.
And paying overs for them as well.
But when you're sitting 12th and you're trying to get one extra win a year, you're like, why?
Yeah, you don't really want that.
Smacks of, I need this. I need to hold on.
Maybe you just got confused. Like, Main and Pritis look pretty close. you know, you could look at them and go, oh, we got a Brownlow medalist and an Eagles champion. No, we got Main.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, maybe they even thought, oh, no, he's the one from Freo. Oh, Mundy. Yeah, he's great. No good. I don't even know how many games he played this year. Like, it was less than four, though.
Yeah, it wasn't much, yeah. And I mean,
they weren't good.
And they're paying Freo for him as well, still.
They're paying him. They've taken him off Freo's books, and Freo are very happy for it.
Which is crazy.
But the sad thing is, like, the longer Buckley goes on coaching, the more I like him.
Yeah, well, from a Richmond perspective, I do.
Not just that, but he's such a good media person. And he says what he means. And, you know, he'll call people out. When it's worthwhile. And, he does say things like he takes ownership of it. Okay, he did take ownership and say, if we don't make finals this year, I think I'm going to be sacked.
Yeah.
They didn't make finals, signed a 2-year extension. But, that's not his fault. Somebody waves that under my nose, I'm signing the bastard too.
Well, of course. It's not like he's, going to take up Gold Coast job.
All right. What are their highlights, though? They did have some highlights in 2017.
Beating Hawthorn.
The 50-point comeback. And I don't know if you remember the game. At halftime, I thought Buckley was going to get sacked before the third quarter. The crowd was calling for it.
Yeah. What round was that in again?
It was like 11 or 10.
Yeah.
Round 9.
There you go. I was pretty close. Now, I was watched the game closely, obviously. Hawthorn weren't that good to get that 50-point lead. Collingwood were shit.
Yeah.
It was Collingwood were giving Hawthorn the ball. They fixed themselves up and sorted it out and looked like an unbeatable side after that.
And that's one of the few times they've actually done that during the year. Because a lot of times they either had a great first quarter and fell off, or they had a pretty shit first quarter and never recovered. There was only a few games where they really sort of stuck in there in a sort of tooth and nail sort of win. And I thought the one for them was the 1-point win over Sydney.
Over Sydney, grinding it up there.
Exactly. It was always close, always hard fought. And Sydney are a team that notoriously will grind out a win in those sorts of conditions. And especially if Collingwood playing away from home, that's some big losses at home. So playing away, especially at the SCG, I don't know if it's a travel, brought that team together, but I thought that was their best performance of the year.
Especially because a few years ago, they had the wood over Sydney, always. Yeah. They used to play at Homebush.
Yeah, that's
right. And then last time they went up to Sydney, I think they got done by 100, and Dane Swan played 1 minute in his last game ever.
Yep.
So they went up there, and like you said, it was just a grind. It was a five-round unanimous decision.
And going into that game, there was no reason why they should have won. Everything was against them. No. They're playing away from home. They're in shit form. It was Buddy's 250th, I think.
Sydney had their backs against the wall.
Yeah.
Lost two or three in a row, and this made it
looking
one more.
Was it top two or three, whatever, would have made a difference to home game finals or whatever?
Towards the end of the year. Yeah. They were still winless at that stage, Sydney. So, Collingwood was put it to
I was looking at something else.
I put Daniel Howe down as a highlight as well.
Yeah.
I thought he's really matured and become a weapon off halfback. Yeah. Everyone knows he's got his big marks, and geez, he took some this year again.
Yep.
Robbed of a medal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely
was.
Robbed.
Not a good question about that.
It's amazing that when the... On
Jeremy
the,
Howe, you mean?
Jeremy Howe, yeah.
So Daniel.
Yeah.
Jeremy Howe.
The only Howe.
I was confused with it. Oh, hang on. What?
I didn't even know I said Daniel. I just thought I just said Howe.
All I heard was Howe. No, I don't know his fucking first name.
Even on the night when they awarded the Jezelenko medal to Danaher, and Howe's gone, what?
Wow.
Because that Danaher mark was nice, but, you know, it's a...
It was likely the mark of the week.
If it was diving,
I don't think it was.
Yeah.
If it was diving, you give it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, yeah, he did. He reached up and
degree of difficulty of 1.3.
Howl's was an absolute screamer that they showed for weeks.
They showed it in America.
They're still showing it.
Yeah.
I do believe that you can go back and YouTube views will tell you.
Yeah, and that's how it should be.
And it's back in the day. Remember Andrew Walker?
Yeah.
Who took that screamer over Carlisle. Amazing. Didn't win Mark of the Year.
Yeah.
And it's still being talked about, that mark.
Yeah.
That's how Jeremy Howe's mark's going to be talked about.
Absolutely. And it'll be one of those highlights and it'll be like just that star next to it. Yeah, it did not win Mark of the Year. And that'll be the story of that mark.
But it's the one they remember.
Yeah.
But besides his marking, I thought he became a much better footballer and a leader.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like he was a bit more diverse in his positioning as well. Yep. Like, he could play a little bit forward and back, which, I mean, is always handy.
Well, part of the reason he can get those marks is he reads the ball so well.
Doesn't he?
Yeah. Yep.
And, that's a skill that you'd love any player to have.
Very Easton Woodish, except he can leap about a foot higher. Mm.
Yeah.
Yep. Shit, if Mason Cox could read the game that well, he would kick 100.
Wow. I actually thought Mason Cox improved this year.
He did his part.
I agree.
He could go backwards.
Yeah. And great value on social media as well. So,
of course he is.
I mean, he's endearing himself to the fans.
Isn't he? I think he said he's going to get citizenship now. Or has he already got it?
Yeah, could have. I don't know.
He's looking at it. So he's going
to be in the fast track.
He's going to hang around.
Yeah.
If he's not careful, he'll end up playing the NBL.
I also thought that Will Hodgson-Elliott had for his best season of his career.
Got better.
I think it's his fifth season in. Was it four with GWS or five with GWS? Can't remember off the top of my
head. About that.
But I think it's the most games he played this year for his entire career.
Yeah.
I think he was one go of a full season and his best yet. And that was following, obviously, Treloar Cross and Jeter West.
Yep.
I feel like...
Adams.
Yeah, and I feel like he can be a sort of a multi-position player as well.
Yep.
I think he averaged 6.2 contested possessions per game, which is good for someone coming into a team.
Yeah, and still a skinny lad, too.
Yeah, and their midfield is strong, so you're competing with people who are already dominating those contested possessions. So I feel like he's someone that can ease that pressure off Treloar. I think he can actually... be a leader in that club and make it one of his own. And that's going to be the key to adding that next cultural step to that club with Treloar and those people taking hold of that midfield.
Yeah. Let Pendlebury do the thinking. They can do the running.
Yeah.
And there's a few games this year where Pendlebury, you go, okay, they would not have won if he wasn't out
there. Yeah. He's got to be the quarterback.
Off the top of your head, who won Collingwood's Best and Fairest this year?
Grundy.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Josh, you got a guess?
Adams.
Steel Sidebottom.
Oh, really?
Top five for 5 years in a row, and he pulls out his first Copeland Trophy. Well deserved. I thought he's one of those great players week in, week out.
He is.
Without being a superstar.
Well, if you had have said Adams, Sidebottom, Treloar, or Grundy, I would have accepted any of them.
Yeah.
Because it does depend, too, on how different clubs do their best affairs. Some of them do top 20, some of them do top 2.
Voting systems are very weird. Out of those names you read out, Treloar was the only one that wasn't in the top 5.
But, what? Really?
Yeah, but he didn't play as many games, I don't think.
Yeah.
But Grundy was the other big one. He was All-Australian contention for quite a while. A
few more wins, and I think he might have got there.
Yeah. I
still think he was unlucky.
I had him probably third. Behind Ian Jacobs was my All-Australian ruckman.
Yeah, I mean, just slightly behind Sean Grigg.
You'd love that.
I love it. We've got all off-season for this shit posting.
Premiership ruckman. he's never been terrible, but he's always been undersized.
Yeah.
And this year, he really went up leaps and bounds, including taking an absolute screamer as well.
And also in the clutch, he was very good, especially around these defensive 50. I thought he
reliable.
Was very, very reliable, yeah.
He's really turned into what Josh Fraser should have been,
Yep.
or what they hoped out of Josh Fraser. But he's been great.
It'd be interesting how he evolves too, because he plays very much the Goldstein style ruckman. Like the gas tank is so important to him. But he's not afraid of the physicality too. I mean, yeah. He nearly killed Ben Brown, but
well, he's built like He-Man. So
he is. He's a strong bastard,
and he's a ruckman you can handball to.
Yeah,
you can trust him. He's not going to fuck this up.
Because there's what, maybe three of those in the AFL. Yeah,
about that, no, it's not many. If there's more, it's five tops.
But he does seem to be that midfield ruckman kind of thing, like the bloke who you can trust with the ball. You know, not as much as you trust, you know, your first string midfielder, but he's definitely not at the bottom of that list.
Yeah,
well, he knows his limits and his capabilities too.
Yep.
Yeah, and probably one of the smartest ruckman going around, which, you know,
again,
to be fair, low bar to
small field,
but sky's the limit for that bloke.
Okay, so what are the low lights then for Collingwood? And the obvious one is 9.5 wins. It's not really heading upwards, is it? And that's 4 years in a row outside the finals.
I'd say their low lights are losing all of their premier games. Like Dreamtime at the G. Not Dreamtime at the G. Anzac Day.
Anzac Day. Yeah.
They didn't win Dreamtime at the G either.
No, they didn't.
They did not.
That makes 10 years in a row.
They lost twice to Carlton. So.
No, they beat Carlton this year.
Did they?
But they didn't beat Richmond. Didn't beat Essendon. So that makes it a bit harder for them.
Lost to Essendon twice.
I mean, I feel like there were a couple of lowlights. First one, in regards to wins and losses, the first one was Carlton in round 7, where they kicked 8 goals 8, 12 goals 7. And it was just coming off of a massive win against Geelong at the MCG.
Yeah.
And so you felt like, I mean, they didn't start great.
They're coming back,
They had a win against Sydney in the SCG in round 3. You know, I think it was lost in between there. Now they're beat Geelong. Playing Carlton and just absolutely putting the most pathetic effort and got spanked. And
if I remember from that game, made Daisy Thomas look good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure that was the game where Vice Sports were reporting on, weren't they? Was that last year?
No, I think they do Port Adelaide games.
No, Vice Media where they had the doco, the short doco.
Was
it that game or was it last year game?
No, it was that game.
That game? Yeah, well, let's go with that anyway. I thought that was their first worst performance. The second one was actually the draw over the Crows.
The Adelaide game.
Yeah.
Should have sewn that one up.
Ridiculous. I mean, they were ahead by nearly 10 goals in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I think halftime, what was it? It was like 9-6 to 3 goals, fuck all, or something like that. Nearly 10 goals ahead. They led everything for that game except for marks inside 50, which they lost 13-3 or something.
So shit,
8-18. And after half time, they kicked 6 goals 7 to 13 goals 3.
Yeah.
Which is just fucking ridiculous.
It became a procession, and a lot of that was a final quarter in the last 10 minutes.
And it still took a mark from Mitch Govan to kick the goal off, and get the draw. And they still put everyone back at the back lines. What are you doing?
All you have to do is spoil that ball. Nobody gets a running leap at it.
And at half time, you can see where you're losing the game. It's marks inside 50. So, hey, put some big man back in there and let's plug that hole.
Yeah. I'll mark that down too, because that was it ripped the guts out of them.
So yeah,
they had that one. They were, you know, Adelaide were on top of the ladder. They were really going to run away with that.
I think the same thing happened in the GWS game, which was just after they had that insipid loss to Carlton. They went over to GWS, over to Spotless, blew them away in the first quarter. I think they went in about five goals up in the first quarter, and then sort of even for the whole thing, and then just giant steal it at the end.
Like Brenton said, they had a good first quarter and then couldn't run it out.
And
that happened to them a few times in the year.
But usually it's been GWS that's been suffering from that in the previous seasons.
Oh, they usually have a good three quarters and then, this, and done. Mm-hmm.
But, unfortunately, Stevie J managed to put the game beyond them right at the last moment.
And didn't he enjoy that?
Teaching the youngsters how to do it.
So sure he wouldn't have mentioned it much.
All right, let's have a look at their list then for 2018. And a very uncharacteristic off-season. No real big names coming in Collingwood this year.
Yep.
They've got one trade in, which was Sam Murray, who you've never heard of, who was up in Sydney.
Let's pretend we have. Great player to pick up for Collingwood.
Yeah, I don't think he's played a game. And I think he's a bit of a come home. Yeah, we'll pay nothing for him. We got him.
Yeah.
So there's no Alex Morgan.
No Alex Morgan, no. No Mitch Clisby either. So they're outs, though. They lost Lachlan Keefe. I always want to call him O'Keefe. It just seems
right, doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, they're not Lachlan. Yeah.
Who really decided to hit the white powder at the wrong time. Because he was coming into his own as a backman.
Was he part of the clenbuterol thing? Right.
He was him and was it Josh Thomas? They were the two that had to sit out a year and a half.
Yeah, something like
thereabouts.
That.
He never got back.
No.
You know, and Collingwood stood by him and paid him, you know, and said, "We've still got a spot on the list for you, but that's a long time out." And he couldn't cover it. The Essendon boys could. Yeah, he couldn't.
Yep. Yeah. The Tigers boys don't get caught.
So. That's it.
They haven't come back from the end of your trip yet.
Wow, this is true. And they're not coming back until they're well and truly clean.
Or they're just taking the pure stuff rather than stuff that's mixed in with steroids.
They did go straight to Hong Kong, didn't they? So they're probably going to the manufacturer. And just like doing swabs on the mixing tanks and shit.
That'd be a good one if you sent your Coke to Asada. Can you check this out for me? Here's my protein powder. Here's my Coke.
If only you did that with your dick pills.
And Ben Sinclair, also, who's one of those players, he was, you know, the 15th to 20th best player.
Yeah.
Just never took the next step, and a couple of others had come up behind him, and a couple of injuries here and there, and never get consistent game time, so.
Yeah.
No massive loss. But Jesse White.
Huge cultural loss, that one.
Apparently.
Huge cultural loss.
He's pulled up stumps. Again, just had all the tools. Could have been an athlete in just about any sport, it looked like.
Yep.
Just not footy, unfortunately. Bye.
Has he been picked up on another sport?
No.
No? Yeah. I feel like he could go to basketball or something. I mean, AFLW.
you never know. I haven't kept up on what he's doing.
He probably got a gig on the UFC Sydney card, because that was pretty pathetic. So.
Yep, there you go. He looks like a hybrid fighter. He reminds me of a Ben Shorb.
Yeah.
Ben Shorb?
Brendan
Shorb.
Yeah. On fire.
I don't know, after, you know, Ty Vickery's pulled the pin, and I read some of the articles about him, he said, you know, the social media backlash, it really got to him, and it's weighed him down.
Dude, he was...
Why did they keep reading it to him then?
Obviously, he tied that well and truly behind the vote yes on gay marriage, so I just tried to slide it through
same
politician
day it
style.
Was.
Yep.
You know, and it said he lost his love for footy. I imagine Jesse White is very similar.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, same. He had two clubs, they were giving it to him. But anyway, he moves on to the next part of his life. So... 2018, the draw for Collingwood. I mean, Collingwood get a favourable draw, but I'm of the opinion that if somebody's going to, you know, it's not their fault.
Yeah.
A lot of Cubs go, we want to host Collingwood because they'll bring a crowd.
Yeah.
That's your advantage.
Yeah.
You won't.
Well, the other thing is too, it's easy to say, oh, this is a good draw, this is a bad draw, but how often does a good draw become a good draw? You never quite know.
You don't know.
Because last season before, you were like, oh, fuck, got to play Freo twice. And then they turned out to be spuds because they lost, you know, their players. But on paper, looks pretty good for Collingwood. But I mean,
their double ups are Richmond and Essendon first off. I think there's four losses right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be hard. But they can surprise, you know, that they do that, Collingwood. They can jump up at the big games.
Yep.
Doubling up against Carlton, that's danger for them because they should win.
These are pride games too.
Exactly. Yeah, but Carlton, just like Collingwood, sometimes they come up for the big occasion.
Yep.
And Brisbane and Freo. And Freo could be on the rise this year too. You never know.
Well, they should be.
Still waiting for it, yeah.
With a fully fit Fife.
Yep.
Who looked like an absolute monster in the international rules.
Hmm. Well, Freo should have been, you know, top three probably the last 3 years.
A couple of years. Yeah, the worst thing they ever did was win a minor premiership. They've been down since then.
Pretty much.
Or sign an 8-year contract.
Well, that doesn't help either.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, who are we looking for a big year this year for Collingwood?
Well, I don't think you can ask much more from their top tier. Like Adams, Treloar.
Stay the course, keep improving.
Side bottom of it. I think guys like, they need Howe to take that even another step up. Ben Reid, need a big one from him.
Yep.
And little fucking Jesse, fucking...
Jamie Elliott. Jamie Elliott's the one.
He got their leading goal kicker. As a small guy and only playing, I think, 17 games.
I guess, and sat games on the bench. You're right.
Yeah.
He had a massive injury preseason, wasn't it?
But I think they need someone in the forward line to help him out because he is a magic player. Every team would want one.
Well, I think that's it. They need Jamie Elliott to play consistent games and Darcy Moore.
Yeah, that's it. I think Darcy Moore is one they're looking out for to be that standout. But, and you're looking for him to just consistently improve.
But they need both of them.
Yeah.
So that's the point. Yep. They need both of them together because one feeds off the other.
Yeah.
You know, and especially Darcy reads the ball really, really well. And he's got a good set of hands. So if everyone's worried about him, little Jamie Elliott taking screamers over the top, tap dancing his way to the goal square.
But I mean, Jamie Elliott has that ability to, I mean, always play a bit more down the field. And not just be sat in the forward line, as long as you can get Darcy Moore to really be that key focus for that forward line. I mean, he could almost be doing like a green for G2S, where he can run down, you know, take those hangers and actually have a connecting play, because that's the missing connecting players. I was thinking James Aish is due to do something after some injuries and, well, doing fuck all.
I've got him under my, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
I honestly thought they'd fuck him off.
Yeah. I was surprised he made it through the off-season.
Yeah. Well, do you have any more people to look out for?
One. All right. One more. Go that. When you have those two guys Darcy Moore and Jamie Elliott firing, it means guys like Alex Fasolo can get under that radar. Yeah. He kicked 6 goals in a game this year and turned the game around. He can do that. He can pop up. He doesn't need to do it week in, week out.
Yeah.
But if you've got your consistent guys and then you've got the slightly fringe players, although he's been around a fair while now.
I feel like him and Sidebottom could be the same player. They could be the same person.
Just a mustache in between.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing with them, like Collingwood's top five, they're all Australian contention.
Yeah.
So it's not their stars that are the problem.
Contention, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can't really say anyone's a walk in these days. If you know, it's always.
You couldn't say anything players are robbed either, though.
Yeah.
But it's guys like Langdon, Broomhead, Dunn. They need to step up. You know, get to that. They need to be better, but it's also your bottom five and your best 22.
Yeah. Well, I'd put Dunn in there. He's done all right. You know, he comes across from Melbourne. But his role isn't to be a star. It's to, make sure guys like Tommy Hawkins are only kicking 3 goals instead of 6, he's got a hell of a boot on him when he wants to.
I mean, that could just be a fault in Collingwood's game plan that you got to play like that, and that's what you're trying to do with them, because, I think you really need almost your backmen to be midfielders these days, to be able to run the ball out of back line, because the tall timber that can take marks in centre-half back line just aren't really there at this moment.
Mm. And you look at, teams that have success with that, with Western Bulldogs, with JJ, just running and booting, and same with Bashir Hooley.
Yeah, that's it.
And the obvious ones, on the outer, the guy's in trouble. I mean, Maine, we've already spoken about.
Yeah.
It's obvious he's not, he's 400K a year and he's not delivering.
Varco.
He's
still around, is he?
Exactly.
Amazing, isn't it?
He played a couple. Didn't really set the world afire.
Easy to forget.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem. They've got their forgettable players.
Yeah,
like we said,
it's like Daniel Wells is heading down that path, that Varco path, where he comes with a great season and from a good, not a good club, but
he had a couple of good games. But
and that's it.
I think what are they hoping out of Daniel Wells for this year? Like they're hoping, well, he plays 14 games.
Yeah,
and contributes.
I think they're hoping
there
for 24 games, maybe 25.
Yeah, they can't be. Like, you cannot expect that from him. Yep. He just doesn't have it in him.
Well, even comparing Wells and Varco, Wells has got him covered. He averaged more possessions, did more with it, even though he played fewer games.
Yeah. Like, averages, though, yeah.
Well, I'd rather have a player have 3 good games and be out for the rest of them than have 5 shitty games and be a liability, which is what Varco was.
I also think Jared Blair, I mean, he's got to be almost just about done. Is he still playing?
He's still going around.
Yeah.
Averaging 12 disposals, so he's doing buck all.
Going to his 9th season.
He's up forward a lot. It's sort of, if Elliott wasn't injured, I don't think Jared Blair would get as many games.
Yeah, I think he might struggle to find a job. But it seems like, I don't know if Collingwood just got lots of cash thrown around, but they keep a lot of people on their books that I feel like, it's not really the way to go forward.
They're missing that star, aren't they?
Do you think young Josh Dacos can be something?
I haven't seen enough of him. I mean,
he's only played 2 games.
Yeah, he debuted this year, so you just don't know. What he could turn out to be. It's a bit like if you go to Carlton side of it, Jack Silvani. Well, we haven't seen much from Jack Silvani, and he's a year ahead of Dacos. So just don't know. I mean, he could become anything, or he could be forgotten in 2 years' time.
What I find will be tough for him is the fact that he's the same height as Jamie Elliott and a few kilos lighter. But
yeah, but he's younger too, obviously.
Yeah. But, if you had to pick, who am I going to put in the spot? Jamie Elliott.
Of course you do. I mean, but young Dacos is only second year player.
Yeah, so no, it's true.
You're really going to, this year, I think his goal would be half a dozen games. If he got more than that, he'd be over the moon.
Hmm.
You're not looking for too much from him. And they're certainly not going to cut a favourite son, you know, a father son.
Oh, hell no.
After like, 2 years.
Geez, sure. If he did, Essendon or Carlton would pick him up just out of spite.
Out of spite, yeah, exactly. So they were 13th with 9.5 wins. Where have you got them finishing in 2018?
Got massive gains here, up one spot to 12th. I feel like it's going to be another treading water season. I feel like they haven't done enough on the trade table. They haven't done enough. We'll see how their drafting goes, but it's not going to make a turnaround in 1 year. And I really just don't see what their game plan is going forward. Like, they've got players there, but I don't see how they're going to utilize them or what is the actual strategy. It seems like get some good players and we'll figure out the rest later.
Yeah,
I agree. I think they're playing catch up in game plan. It seems like they're playing the way the Premier did 2 seasons back.
Yeah.
Like, they're behind the curve in terms of football tactics and strategy. And maybe that's going to change with a whole new football department in there. But I don't see him moving up. I see him sitting 14th.
So you've got him going down again. Look, I said 12th, but look, we're all around the same ballpark. And realistically, they've gone down every single year since Buckley's been there.
Yeah, yeah.
If this is the year where they don't go down, it's like you'd want to be going...
Yeah,
further up than that.
I mean, I think what they need is like a football first coup. Seemed to work for us, so.
Although, to be fair, if they have signed Buckley on 2 years, they've got to leave him for the 2 years.
Nah.
Oh, I don't know.
I think so.
Well,
they're willing to bottom out this year or next year.
If last year was the big, you know, Buckley, this is his year on the line, and he signed for 2 years, I think this year is going to be who goes Buckley or Eddie.
Yeah.
People are starting circling for Eddie. There is no doubt Collingwood is much better off having Eddie Maguire at the helm.
Sure.
They were a basket case when he took over.
Yeah.
Now they're set for life, pretty much. But I think any club to have somebody like that at their helm would be lucky.
Well, they are the Ferrari, if you like,
but
of the AFL.
Exactly.
Like with the thing in F1, Ferrari, if they have a great Formula One season, their road cars are shit. And I feel like Collingwood's the same. When they have a great off-field sort of run, and their on-field team sucks.
Yep.
Well, then they've had a great off-field then. Sorry, a shit off-field, because they've done nothing.
Yep, that's exactly right.
In the off-season. So maybe that's all they need.
No, I meant as in the back of house.
Yeah. Well, they lost Gary Pert. So
Dane Swan, CEO, confirmed.
Well, he's already put his hand up for the Socceroos job. So
that's right.
He might be busy. But yeah,
it'd fit him well in Russia.
Yeah, so we've got them 11th, 12th, and 14th. So that's not much movement up from last year. I did consider for this one, we might just do it as 2 seconds and fuck Collingwood, and that would please everyone else. But I think they're, without doing anything, they're still an interesting story for the
club. They're always an interesting story.
The worst thing is, and this will probably be the biggest insult I could give to any Collingwood supporters, is that I don't hate them right now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I don't.
They're just not important.
I don't see them winning and going, fuck those guys. I'm just like, oh, just I can't. There's a few players I hope that hope do well.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, to a Collingwood supporter is like, no, we want them to fucking hate us.
It is pretty sad to see a sparse Collingwood crowd at the MCG.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often.
Yeah.
But to fire back on behalf of the Collingwood supporters, when they think of North Melbourne, they think, who? Anyway. All right, that'll do us. Cheers.
Good luck.
Peace.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.